Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would draw us closer into this amazing relationship that you've established between us and you today. Amen. There's a question I like to ask people. It's very simple, it's very short, it's very profound, and it's this. There it is. How's your relationship with God? Take a second right now to think about that. I don't want you to say anything out loud, but you have your bulletin there. Feel free to write your answer down if you'd like. I just want you to contemplate this. I'll give you a short amount of time here. Just think about, how's your relationship with God? How would you answer that question? The number one response I get when I ask this, the knee-jerk reaction, is most people will say to me, I pray a lot. That's the first thing they say. I pray every day, and so my relationship must be good. And if that's your answer, I have some follow-up questions. What do you mean you pray a lot? What does that entail? What do you pray about? What are you praying for? And how would you define the word prayer? And obviously prayer is a huge part of any relationship with God. I'm not minimizing that at all, but so often we don't really know what we mean when we say, I pray. And then there's other people that are on the opposite end of the extreme where they say, yeah, I don't pray at all. Like I used to pray, they'll say. But when life got hard, it got difficult, they'd cry out to God and expecting an answer, expecting something to change, some relief maybe, and nothing. At least in their perspective, just silence. And so their mindset was, well, if I ask and I don't receive, what's the point of praying in the first place? And maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're one of these ex-prayers. Some of you grew up praying prayers, being taught church prayers that you say specific prayers before you eat, before you sleep, when you go to the church. I mean, you know these things backwards and forwards. A lot of them rhyme, so they're really easy to memorize. And you know them so well that you don't really know them anymore. And what I mean by that is that you can rattle it off, but not think about the words. You can't apply them to your heart. They're just words, and they lost their meaning. And for some of you, that's the only way you know how to pray. That it has to be that rote prayer that you were taught as a child, and that's where you find yourself, and maybe you feel stuck, and you can't go beyond that, and you want to go beyond that. So here's the thing. There's many of you who are here today. There's lots of you who are joining us online, or you're listening to this. And you want to deepen your relationship with God. And some of you would define yourselves as prayers, people who pray, but you would admit that you maybe don't necessarily know how to do that the best way and you want to get better at it. Some of you would admit that you're ex-prayers, like you've stopped doing it for whatever reason, but you're willing to give it another chance. And if that's you, this brand new series is what you need. This new series is called When You Pray, and it's based on the very popular prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer. And it's recorded for us only in two spots in the Bible, in Luke chapter 11, which we read earlier, and in Matthew chapter 6, which we're going to look at today. And if you put those two prayers side by side, what you'll notice is that there's some variation. And the reason for that is Jesus did not mean for us to necessarily pray the Lord's Prayer word for word. And he for sure didn't mean for us to memorize it and get to the point where now it's just this mindless exercise where, yeah, I can say it, but you don't think about it. The point of this prayer was to give us an outline, to give us a format that we can follow so that we can have a better conversation with God. That's why Jesus gave us this prayer. Now, like most of us, Jesus' original disciples grew up going to church and being taught prayers. They knew what to pray before they ate. They knew what to pray before they went to bed. They knew what to pray when they were in the church building in the synagogue. But when they were hanging around Jesus, they observed that he took prayer to the next level. Like, it wasn't just a ritual. It was relational for him. And he'd take time out in the morning, his personal time. He'd take personal time out in the evening, and he would go and pray. And they wanted to know, what are you doing? What's going on? Teach us this. Because what they observed in Jesus is that this wasn't just something he did. This is who he was. This is how he maintained and he strengthened his relationship with God the Father. And that's what Jesus wants for you and for me. He wants us to have a stronger relationship, a stronger dependence on God, our Father, to have a more meaningful and powerful relationship. And that's why he gave us this prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer is divided up into seven different petitions or requests. And throughout these next few weeks, we're going to look at each of them with the intent of applying them to our own personal prayer life, that we can use these prayers every time we talk to God. Now, before we go any further, I just want to make sure we all understand what we mean when we say the word prayer. And here's a definition for you. Prayer is a conversation with God. Would you all read that with me? Prayer is a conversation with God. You cannot have a conversation if you're only one person. You need two or more people. And conversations entail talking and listening. And if you have felt ever that your prayer life is drab, it's dry, it's boring, it's not going anywhere, it's kind of weak, I'll just be honest with you, it's probably because you've been doing a lot of talking and not very much listening. Prayer is a conversation between you and God. There's times where you need to talk and there's times where you need to listen. And God talks to you through, very simply, the Bible. Through the written word, God reveals his love for you. He describes his character, who he is. You can't get to know someone without listening to their story, reading their story, being a part of their story. And that's what God reveals to us in the Bible. And so it's there that we get to have this two-way conversation. We listen to him. And then we respond to him. Now, let's be honest. Some of us have a hard time. Maybe you've listened to God, but you have a hard time engaging in that second part of talking to God. It's your turn, but you're not exactly sure what to say or how to say it because you're afraid it might come out wrong. And you've heard a lot of people pray. You've heard me pray, and you've compared yourself. And you're like, well, they're really good prayers, and I don't know if I can pray like them. Can I tell you something? God does not expect you to pray like anybody else. He doesn't expect you to pray like me, and he doesn't expect me to pray like you. I'll give you an example. Today after church, you'll probably have a conversation with someone, right? In that conversation, you're not going to be thinking to yourself, how would Dan say this? Dennis, we all know Dennis, awesome talker. Okay, how would Dennis go about this? He's so good at articulating things. He's a great communicator. How would he say this? Rachel, she's a poet, and she didn't even know it. Like that? She is so, you know, when she talks, it's like a poem coming out of her mouth. How can I say this like Rachel? You're not going to have that thought process in your mind when you're conversing with someone after church, are you? At least I hope not. You're just going to talk. When you go to God in prayer, you get to talk like you. You get to talk to God like you'd talk to your best friend. Unfiltered. No, you're not holding anything back. You don't have to change the tone of your voice. You don't have to go all monotone on him. God understands your regular tone of voice. And you don't have to use these and thous. Did you know that God speaks modern day English? He does. He understands you. You get to talk to God the way that you talk. Prayer is a conversation with God. And through this specific prayer, Jesus is going to teach you a pattern, a structure for that conversation, to grow deeper in your relationship with him. Now, before we get into the Lord's Prayer, Jesus has some preemptory remarks. He has some do's and don'ts of prayer. And we're going to look at some of those do-nots right off the bat. So in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, this is what Jesus says. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." So what is this word here? Read it with me. When? So here's the expectation. Jesus did not say, if you pray. If you would have said, if you pray, that's an option. You may or may not do it. The expectation is that you're going to pray, and you're going to have many conversations with God the Father. So he says, when you pray, do not be like the, read that, hypocrites. So the Greek word hypocrite means actor. He says, don't be like the actors. The people, when they pray, they're putting on a show. And their only desire is to draw other people's attention. It's not to get God's attention. It's other people's attention. And he said, if that's the way you pray, if you're there to be a poet, if you're there to wax eloquently and speak flowery words to impress people, he says, you've already received your reward. It's not a deeper relationship with God. It's a fleeting pat on the back. Hey, wow, that was a great prayer. That's your reward. That's what you get when you pray, if you pray like a hypocrite. But Jesus doesn't want us to do that. And instead, he says in verse 6, "But when you pray," again, not if you pray, "when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." We have some parents here, we have some grandparents here, we have some aunts and uncles. Raise your hand if you've been around little people, kids, okay? All right, so inevitably, this has happened, right? You take out that little device called a phone and you put it to your ear. And without fail, immediately, one of those little people, a child comes up to you and starts asking you questions or tells you about their day or needs help with something, or they just start screaming at you. It's like they have this little alarm in their head that says, oh, phone to ear, gotta go talk. And you know in that moment, you cannot give your undivided attention to the person on the other line. You have to go to a quiet place. That's what God wants you to do when you have a conversation with him. You can't talk to God and watch TV at the same time. You can't talk to God and look through your Facebook feed or check your email or your Instagram because you're distracted. And so Jesus' wonderful advice says, go to a quiet place. Maybe it's your bedroom. Maybe it's your front porch. Maybe it's a walk around the lake. Find that quiet place so that you can give God and you can receive God's undivided attention, so that you can grow in that relationship with him. And when you do that, he says, you'll be rewarded. Now, oftentimes when we pray, we view God as this divine vending machine. All right, here we go. I'm going to pull it and see what I get. And you hear the word reward and like, oh, perfect. So I just have to, that's the secret to getting what I want. I just go in my room, shut the door, and I'm going to get whatever I want. This is what you get. It's better than stuff. You get God. You get to grow deeper in that relationship with your Father in heaven. You get to a better understanding of his love for you. You, in that moment, are reminded that when life seems out of control, that your Father is in control. That's the reward that God gives you. And so that's why we don't want to be like the hypocrites who stand up and all we get is a pat on the back. But instead, like Jesus, we go to those solitary places to have that one-on-one time with our Father. Now, here's another do not. And when you pray, again, not if, when, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. In your experience, has a religious teacher ever told you, hey, go pray the Our Father 10 times? Go pray the Lord's Prayer 7 times. Just keep saying it over and over again. And hopefully with that repetition, God's going to hear you. He's, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, right? Mentality that if I keep talking, God's going to hear me. And maybe he'll answer my prayers. Maybe he'll forgive me my sins. Have you ever been given that advice? That was bad advice. Because Jesus clearly says, quit your babbling. Keep it short. Why? Because here's why. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Your Father knows before you even ask him. You don't have to give God the play-by-play. You don't have to give him the nitty-gritty details and say, all right, Lord, well, let me start from the beginning. This is how the day started, and this is how I got to the point where I'm at. No, it's as simple as help, and he can fill in all the blanks. That's it. Father, help me. Okay, what do you need, child? That's the beauty of taking that time to be with the Lord on your own. But I bet some of you are wondering, because I wondered this when I first read this. If he already knows what I need before I ask him, then what are you thinking? Why should I even ask? What's the point of praying? But if you're thinking that thought, here's the problem with that, is you're assuming that prayer is for God when prayer is really for you. Because if you're not praying, let's say your life has just gotten really bad, things are going down the tubes, life is really difficult. If you're not praying, what are you doing? Tell me, what are you doing? Worrying. And worrying creates anxiety. And does anxiety feel good? You get stomach aches. I'm talking from experience here. You get headaches. You can't sleep at night. Your thoughts are keeping you up. You're tossing and you're turning. You're like, how am I going to figure this out? I got all these things coming up. School's starting. The news is talking about this pandemic coming back. What do I do? And we worry. And so, yeah, your Heavenly Father knows what you're going to ask before you ask it, but he wants you to ask, and here's why. The Apostle Paul, human just like us, wrote the book of Philippians, chapter 4. He gives us some beautiful insight. This is what he says. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Anything. I don't care what it is. You got a hangnail. Don't be anxious about that. You got to figure out what you're going to do with your kids for school next year. Don't be anxious about that. Anything. But in what? Every situation, by prayer and petition. Petition is asking. With thanksgiving. This is huge. Paul, if you don't know his story and you read his letters, you're like, man, this guy, who does he think he is coming off telling me to be thankful in all circumstances? The guy was in prison all the time for his faith in Jesus. He was beat up all the time for his faith in Jesus. And yet he had the most positive attitude of anybody. There's a story in the book of Acts where he and his friends were whipped, beaten, and then put in the stocks, you know, where they put your head between two pieces of wood and you can't move. And what does it say? They were singing songs of praise to God. So he says, in all situations, whether you're locked up in prison, he says, pray, bring your petitions with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and here's the beauty. Because if you worry, what do you get? Anxiety. If you pray, this is what you get. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds and in Christ Jesus. Can I give you some personal insight? Some people tell me, well, I gotta worry because if I'm not worrying, I'm not doing anything. That's a lie. If you're worrying, you're ruining your life. So instead of worrying, we have this amazing replacement called prayer. And when you pray, and you probably heard this before, right? And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Where does that come from? From putting this into practice by praying to your Father in heaven and saying, Lord, I'm out of control. Life is out of control. It's yours. And he says, here's my peace. The word will is a promise. It will guard your hearts and your minds. Now, listen, if you've dug that trench of worrying for a really long time, and now you start praying and you don't get an instantaneous feeling of peace, keep praying. Keep telling God, you told me that if I pray to you, you're going to give me peace. Claim it from him. And he will give it to you. That is the promise that your Heavenly Father gives. He knows what you need before you even ask. Now, with all that in mind, Jesus gets to his point. He says, this then is how you should pray. And then, you know, sometimes we wonder, what should we call God? He says, here, I'll give you a title for you. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Did you catch that throughout this entire section, Jesus kept calling God Father? Close the door and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not be like them. Do not be like the hypocrites, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then here he says, our Father. He's not just mine. He's not just yours. He's our Father in heaven. And the reason you can call God your Father, which is a pretty big deal, the one who sits on his throne, who looks down, who has this amazing perspective, can see everything that's going on. The reason that you get to call him Father is not because you're a good person. It's not because you have somehow lived a good life and you've earned his favor and you've paid for it by your sweat, blood, and tears. No, it's because Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for your adoption into God's family. If you've ever gone through that process of adoption, if you're going through that process, you know it takes long hours, thousands of dollars to be able to declare that that little child is yours. It costs a big price. Well, Jesus did not spend cash, he didn't spend credit, he didn't spend gold to declare you his son or daughter. He spent himself. Jesus shed his precious blood on the cross to pay for your sins and mine, to clean us up, to present us as holy before the Father so that the Father would declare, yep, that's my son, that's my daughter, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. You are part of the family. If you believe that, if you believe that God declares that over you, you are part of the family. One of the benefits of being part of the family, of the Christian family, is that you get to declare and you get an audience with God, your Father. Now, I want to be very clear here. There is a distinction between your Heavenly Father and your earthly father. Because some people, when they hear this, when they hear God is my Father, they immediately go into that comparison mode and saying, well, I don't have a really good earthly dad or stepdad or adoptive dad or foster dad. And so they start making comparisons. And they say, well, if my heavenly dad is anything like my earthly dad, I don't want him. And they assume that he's not going to be there when you need him the most. That God doesn't want to listen to you and help you work through your anxieties and your worries and your struggles. That God, your Father, is there only to take out his frustrations on you because he's mad and angry all the time. And that he won't ever forgive you because you've messed up. They start to transfer their earthly father into the heavenly father and say, well, he's only going to see the bad that I do and not the good. And he'll disown me at a moment's notice. And then some even take it a step further. They take this quantum leap and say, well, okay, let's say God is good. If he's my good heavenly father, then why did he give me such a bad earthly dad? And that's a legitimate question. But what you have to understand is this. Your heavenly father is not meant to be a reflection of your earthly father. Your earthly father is meant to be a reflection of your heavenly father. And if you look at the heavenly father, he is perfect. And if you're a father, if you're a dad, if you're a caretaker, and I'm talking to myself here too, that we are not called to be selfish and narcissistic and it's all about us and we treat our kids like little slaves and we tear them down. No, that's not how the Heavenly Father treats us. And so we are to treat our children as the Heavenly Father treats us. To love unconditionally. To not see these little ones under our care as burdens, but as blessings. Because our Heavenly Father is not going to disown you when you mess up the first time or the 100th time. He is slow to anger, abounding in love, in righteousness, in holiness, in forgiveness. He, every single time you come back to him, arms wide open. He's not going to give you this cross-armed, put his face down, walk away. No, he's there with a smile on his face. He says, come, I love you. That's your Heavenly Father. He's patient. He uses his words to build up, not to tear down. And in the event that he does discipline you, it's not to hurt you, it's to help you. It's to guide you, to instruct you. Our Heavenly Father is perfect in all of his ways. He's what every dad should strive to be like. Our Father loves you. He wants to hear from you all the time, not just when it's convenient. I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were just in awe of, like, there's so many people that God calls his sons and daughters, and yet he still has time for you and me. Out of all these millions of people, he can hear all of our prayers at the same time. And he wants to hear what's going on. The good. He wants to celebrate with you. He wants to hear your thanksgiving. He wants to hear your ambitions and your goals in life. He wants to hear those things. And he also wants to hear about your problems. The gigantic ones that everybody's aware of and the microscopic ones that nobody knows about except for you. That's what your Heavenly Father wants for you. He wants this vibrant relationship. He wants to use his almighty creative power to help you throughout anything. And so, pray. As Jesus said, make it that priority in your life to take time out. Because think about this in your relationships. I think about my wife. If I never talk to her, we grow apart. If we never see each other and we only talk business, you know, we only talk about the finances and the kids, what do? We grow apart. But when we talk about life, when we talk about what's difficult, when we talk about what we're happy about, when we talk to God together, we grow closer in that relationship. And that's what you get to do with your Heavenly Father, is that he's not just a, hey, I need something, Dad. No, but it's, hey, Dad, I want to learn more about you and your life and your story because it affects my story. And so Jesus says, take that time away. And listen, if this hasn't been your normal routine, try this, 5 minutes a day, every day, 5 minutes a day, and just start. And my normal routine is I'll sit down with my Bible and I'll say, God, I want to know you better. I want to know me better through you. And so open my eyes. Help me to see what you want me to see. Amen. And then I start reading. And if you don't have devotional material, we have devotions right back there as you leave. It says, take one. Please take one. Take one. Take two. Pass them out. We have devotional materials. If you want to just dive into the Word of God yourself, go into my recommendation. Start with the book of Matthew. Read a few verses. Read a chapter. And go through that acronym of PRAY. Praise God for what you see him doing there. Repent for where you recognize, man, I'm failing, I'm falling apart. Ask him for his forgiveness. Ask him to bless you. It's okay to ask. Parents, your kids can ask, and you can always say what? No. Not right now. That's okay. But isn't it fun, too, to say, yeah? Absolutely. You know, sometimes my kids will throw a temper tantrum, and I'm like, what's going on? Well, I wanted this, but you didn't give it to me. Well, you didn't ask me. Oh, well, can I have that? Well, sure. Oh, okay, thanks, right? Ask, and it will be given to you, and then yield. Those of you who drive, you pull up and you see the yield sign. We have all these roundabouts, and you got to yield, right? And who do you yield to? That car coming, and then what do? You follow. And you can say, Lord, this is what I'm asking for. This is what I want, but I yield. I want to follow your will. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Pray. And when you do these things, you will receive that precious reward of deepening your relationship with your heavenly Abba, your daddy, who loves you so much. That's what you get when you pray, Our Father in heaven. Let's pray right now. Our Father in heaven, thank you for reminding us. I know that there are times in my life, my conversations with you get pretty stale because I like to talk. But thank you for this time that we got to listen to your words, that we don't want to be hypocrites. The prayer is not a show that we put on for other people. It's not something that we just check off our to-do list. It's a relationship. And Lord, today we ask, draw us deeper into this relationship with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.